Good Monday afternoon, dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. We come before thy ears, sinful though as we may be. And
Helmut.
What?
You're placing us in the guilty corner already, just like that.
No, I just decided to start with it.
Well, actually this morning's particular, you know, unpacking the day, we were already placed in the guilty corner already. I did forgot to share that with you off air.
Okay.
So, just that you know, you know. Just so that you know.
Guilty corner?
Yeah.
In the morning?
Yeah.
What do we do?
It's what we are going to do right now.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, if we're going to do it, then that shows that we have, learned our lesson.
No, we didn't learn said lesson. We will continue with said particular action, which primarily makes some of our callers and listeners, most, you know, stakeholders, a little bit, you know, perturbed. I'll use the word perturbed because not angry.
Mm-hmm.
There was no aspect of violence.
Just concerned.
Well, concerned is more like being worried, but perturbed is more like, you know, great annoyance, you know, on the annoyance scale factor. So yeah. I just needed to share that with you in that particular discussion. However, we are cavaliers and not musketeers.
Mm-hmm.
We shall champion forthwith with said particular deep dives, as we always do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And today's discussion has to do with the president's engagement with the president's engagement with the traditional authorities that took place in the Oshana region. And this was the 26th annual meeting of the Council of Traditional Leaders in Namibia, and that took place in Ondangwa in Oshana region. And this is something that's held annual, and this is something that has been going on for a while now. This one took place earlier this month.
Mm.
Yeah, took place earlier this month. And now, as a country, we basically, a part of being in a the good thing is we already talked about the state of democracy in Namibia, and I think. This discussion of the president meeting traditional leaders brings up a lot of discussions that we have already had, and one of them is the parliamentary standing committee, I think, was that on natural resources. I'm not sure which one was that went to Zambia for that specific purpose to see how the Zambian government, central government interacts, more like execute their day-to-day activity with regards to running the country, while coordinating with traditional leaders. And of course, these standing committees always, compile a report, and then they provide recommendations and conclusions. And this is public knowledge. You can just find it on their, on the National Assembly Parliament. Now, this discussion is, the president in a speech, referenced a lot, a lot of things, one of which is, respective duties that must be executed executed by different individuals. This is, of course, now looking at it in more general terms, the central government and the central government and the traditional authorities in their, in their respective jurisdictions. Now, in these areas, it's, obviously, in the same way that, when we talk about, energy transition, we like, at least I like to use, I like to take us back to, take us back to Albania, and why Albania is, decided to use hydroelectricity. That's because that's their strong suit.
Yeah.
Now Namibia cannot adopt the same form of energy generation because we just don't have enough surface water to, to pull that off. But there's something that we can exploit to our advantage, and amazing enough already doing that, which is wind and solar. Now, constituency-wise, I think whether you're looking at it from a somewhat interesting way of processing, a processing plant in every constituency, even if we had enough money to sort of like give that a trial run, the first thing we'll have to figure out is constitution is not processing anything. Which constituency has what agricultural advantage or extractive advantage? Because your strength, that's what you're going to process. Yeah. Now it will be very unfair to tell Albania to generate electricity from the strengths of Namibia, which is wind and solar. And it will also be equally unfair to tell Namibia to generate all its electricity from, all its electricity from hydropower. So constituency-wise now, on the other hand, if you look at it from the president's perspective, which is basically generally development-wise, because she did cover a lot about, NDP 6 and the role that traditional authorities can play, because, well, it's a team effort.
It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be. It's actually a good thing that you started off on that, because the Traditional Authorities Act, the TAA, if you guys did not know, dear listeners, yes, we do have a TAA. The Traditional Authorities Act obviously encompasses a... Not that it encompasses. Yes, actually it does. In the Traditional Authorities consideration, it has a particular sort of like arm that branches out into the Mineral Resources Act, another arm that branches out into the Protection of Soil. Let me get that. Protection of Topsoil. Okay, there's a Section 29 of the community, they call it the Communal Land Reform Act is the act's name, which also sort of like participates, falls under the Traditional Authorities Act itself.
Yeah.
This whole CLRA speaks primarily to the management, the preservation, the conservation, and the potential equal access. I say potential equal access because we all know in reality there's almost no equal access to the same resource. There is no such thing.
At least not in a literal terms of the word equal.
Yeah. So I say potential equal access, because they also speak about, giving each particular, if there's a whole bunch of livestock farmers, you should not just have one guy showing up with like 300 head of cattle or 1,800 head of goats, sort of like to cover the entire communal area. And then there is the aspect also of underground natural resources, for example, like underground water, minerals, and all those particular dimensions. Now, the TAA cascades down to the CLRA, Communal Land Reform Act, and that act then, the CLRA, has like branching out arms or tentacles into other acts that exist in Namibia. So it's just so that people understand how that forms.
How they are interlinked.
Yeah, because there's a very lovely thing that, there's a very lovely explainer specifically that the the Legal Assistance Center had positioned up a couple of years back in terms of trying to understand and explain the role of traditional authorities in promoting sustainable use of Namibia's natural resources. Because that is what the president went and spoke to the traditional leaders about. When she stepped, and there's a lovely sentence right there in her statement itself. Obviously, it starts off with, all protocol observed for like a couple of
paragraphs.
But that's obviously what the president has to do, guys. We're not taking issue with that dimension, because that is what she, that is what her script writer or her speech writer had to start with. The dimension from this is obviously a discussion of when she got to the gist of the message. It cascaded into two important things. Firstly, her disappointment at what she saw with regards to the utilization of land set out for agricultural and food security purposes, where there's a couple of them that she has visited across the country that have not so far lived up to its desired expectations. So that means the president she actually did a very good particular job, in going to go see what are the green schemes aiming to provide. That's very clever, Helmut.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any president has done this before, like what President Nandi Ndaitwah has done. Go out, first go look at projects and scenarios, and then you've got a meeting afterwards with with traditional leaders, and then you tell them to their face, hey guys, so supposedly things were supposed to kick off. supposedly things did not kick off. And, you know, we'd like to see desired outcomes primarily for the various scenarios. So, just to state you that particular sentence. So she cites here, and obviously she first emphasizes the fight against corruption.
Yeah.
Yeah. That had to come before looking at the aspect, obviously, of things that need to be done. She notes, one of the most, and I'm reading it just as it is, one of the most significant challenges facing Namibia today is the persistent rise in unemployment, particularly among young people. She continues to go on to say, in our efforts to find solutions to the unemployment situation, I need you to identify viable and legitimate endowments, competitive advantages and opportunities in each of your localities. Let us utilize communal land as a form of capital that supports investment in community development and job creation. Now, adding on top of this particular dimension, she says, in relation to the discussion of said particular communal land playing a pivotal role in economic development for Namibia, she notes, however, that she is aware of land that has already been allocated, especially in the Zambezi region. And I'm sorry, Zambezi is literally focused on, it literally zooms in on Zambezi here. Especially in the Zambezi region, by the traditional leaders, which has not been utilized for years. She states, I assure you that that land too shall be put to production soon. And she jots down all the green schemes she has visited. She says she's happy with the progress so far compared to when she visited some of those particular farms, those green scheme facilities a couple of years back. Now, here's the things, guys. We here at the Villager ePaper platform, we have covered some of those visits that the president has done. Like, for example, the solar panels that are meant, that would be earmarked for one of the production, for one of the green scheme facilities, you know, to help with production. If you look at this particular discussion, Helmut, of the president literally telling the traditional leaders, you guys also have a pivotal role to play. Your pivotal role has to do with how do you address your rural poverty or your rural youth unemployment or your rural underdeveloped zones. The traditional leaders have a pivotal role to play in terms of, for example, citing, you know what, some of our particular urban settlements, they have to play a particular role for those dimensions that she mentioned. Now, that's not what the president said yet, as like the settlements, the urban settlements. Because remember, if you go look at most urban settlements that are close to communal areas, and communal areas obviously are homes to traditional leaders and leaderships, you will find in many cases the urban settlement obviously has its particular use and role that it plays, and the communal land area or the communal area itself plays a completely different role. However, the communal area would be dependent on the urban settlement in terms of service provision, and other particular developmental needs, for example. For example, if you're taking Kurenkuru, small, single, urban settlement. That was when we did the Governor Verna Sinimbo's particular address, where she looked at, you know, what can be done for the region, where she cited, you know what, we at least want 3 more urban settlements to be established in Kavango West, so as to lessen the burden on Kurenkuru in terms of service provision, and other particular, you know, necessary developmental needs for the region. Because it is just, not just logical, but it's an important step, Helmut, that you have only 10,000 people living in that town. And there's 112,000 people somewhere in the bush. I say somewhere. I don't know. I haven't seen the roads. Only the guy that grows his broccoli would know what that true, you know, scenario looks like. But he also found out specifically that he couldn't sell his broccoli because people are like, what are you selling to me?
First of all, I really want to buy, but what is that?
No, they didn't say what is that. His description was, people were like, what are you bringing to me? I don't know this thing. But they ate, they wanted the leaves because the leaves resembled, spinach.
Oh, cabbage?
No, spinach.
Oh, spinach.
It's yeah. Leaf looks like a spinach leaf.
Yeah.
The broccoli.
Yeah.
The broccoli sits with the bulb in the middle,
yeah.
And then you've got the leaves around. It's not, a cabbage is just a whole leafy situation.
Yeah, it's basically a bulb, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a massive bulb with just leaves. So, the president did cite that, but the role of traditional leaders, if you look at things going ahead, Helmut, I still have to see in terms of, you know, a concrete example of what these traditional leaders would put on the ground. In terms of saying, hey, listen, this is how we factor into the agricultural sector, the cultural sector development, the education sector development, the industrial goals of Namibia, you know, all those things primarily. Because you and I, we looked at the lithium mining report.
Yeah.
And the traditional authorities there played a pivotal role in literally not communicating to their communities. The Chinese company was like, hey, yeah, we got the green light.
We got all the papers.
We got all the papers, you know. We know what to do. And when they showed up, the community was ready to like throw stones and say, hey, listen, who are these guys showing up here? Who told us? Who spoke to us?
Yeah, and different traditional leaders at this point were also not in good terms with each other.
But is that the mining company's issue, Helmut?
No, it's not. It brings us back to what the president started off in her, what the president basically started off once she got to sort of like the meat of her speech.
Mm.
So, there's one part where she says that, when I took the oath of office on the 21st of March, 2025, I vowed to be the president for all Namibians.
Mm.
So, I think it's safe to say that, if you look at it, developmental wise, you have to look at it, we are operating as a country at this point because we are a country.
Yeah.
Because now we're talking about, this is a one massive compartmentalized power structure from the, you know, from the central government or from the executive office to, you know, all the way down to traditional authorities, down to families and down to individuals like you and me. All these things, basically, you know, requires, there are a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. That means there is a lot of oversight to be done. Now, if you want to pull off every developmental initiative that we have in, that we have in mind, that has to do with Vision 2030 or overall African-wise, Agenda 2063, it's going to require a lot of these pieces to be well lubricated so that each and every single one of them knows, two things. What their roles are, which again the president points out, first of all, everyone must know what their role is so that they can do their role to the best of their ability, for the overall achievement of the national goal. So, I think, which makes a lot of sense because you don't want, each one of them, take for example, traditional authorities and the central government, each one of them not being aware of what the other is up to.
Yeah.
Because then Agenda 2030 will be, and this is a very massive problem already, especially development wise. And if you look at the capital projects, for example, you have, non-traditional leaders that were asked about the projects in their respective regions, and some of them went, what project? Now, you don't want things like that taking place. So, I'm also glad she just decided to meet them in person instead of just sending a representative, with a couple of paragraphs to, I'm here on behalf of the president type of scenario. So, and also, if you look at it, her emphasizing that I vowed to be the president of all Namibians basically says, first of all, we are different and we are never going to be the same. That's a very easy way. To, that's a, that's a, something very, that's a very honest, more like an angle to look at it from. Mm-hmm. We are different in a lot of ways, tribally, racially, religiously. There are those that believe, there are those that believe in a, in a deity. Some of them don't, and all these things. Now, bottom line is, we all have Namibian ID cards.
Mm.
Sorry if you don't have. Get one. But now, we all have Namibian ID cards. That makes us Namibians. Now, the question is, we have a goal to achieve development-wise, both education, basically provision of goods and services to every Namibian. We can't pull that off if we are busy looking at each other going like, no, but you are taller than me, therefore I don't want to be next to you.
Yeah, and
on a traditional level, this is somewhat very, somewhat very important, because how often does the president interact with people, with people like you and me? Not very often. Traditional authorities, on the other hand, are always on the ground.
Mm.
They are always, they are in constant communication. Let me just say, they are more closer to a lot of the people that, to a lot of, to a lot of the people that are in need, especially development-wise, than the president is. I've never met her. And I live in the capital.
Mm. It's.
I've never even met Angari, come to think of it. But anyway.
Look, Emma, don't start things, please. Don't start things. It's on Monday. We started on a good note.
Yeah.
Okay, besides me giving you the feedback here live on air.
Yeah.
From this morning's unpacking. But yeah, don't worry. You know?
Yeah. So, she vowed to be the president of Namibians.
Yeah.
So that then sets a very, a good precedence in a way of, and these are a lot of traditional authorities basically across the country that came together to realize that they have subjects to, they have subjects to lead.
Mm.
Yeah. And, they are coming together now, if the country is to run in a way that is very fluid towards any national goal we have, the people that they are ruling over must also get the same message that, first of all, we're different, and newsflash, we are never going to be the same, not in a literal sense of the word. Even if we were all of the same race, you'll find people that are tall, and then there are helmets.
Mm.
Now, all these things basically brings us to one thing that the point here is development. To provide as much opportunity as possible to every Namibian. Bottom line, what's counting here is your ID. What does it say? You're Namibian. You're from the north, south, central, east, west. To a bottom line, Namibian.
Mm.
So that's the goal. Dwight, that's an important point to make.
No, it is.
And I like how she started with it before getting to the
real succession. Yeah, that's where I'm now jumping in.
Yeah, go on.
That's where I'm going to jump in there. Now, at the heart, obviously, of meeting with traditional leaders, the president obviously also stated, that there's currently, like, at that stage. So we're talking about, at the start of September this month, there was 10 succession disputes in 10 traditional authorities taking place, which was concerning for her, because technically it means then, the developmental agenda of Namibia is frozen in those 10 traditional authorities. It is a little bit worrisome, but in real effect, you usually have to look, the only place you can actually measure true development in Namibia is through the impact that local authorities do, where the other aspects of, of democracy is taking place out, hinting back to our discussion of last week, how the democracy in Africa, we can only rely on local authorities.
Yeah.
I like local authorities somewhat, because with local authorities, you can actually see the thing happen. With the report that comes from the Taurus lithium mining discussion was literally how a community was kept out of a loop. The community did not know. The community also did not have any answers or didn't get any feedback, for example, to like those ditches and trenches that were left there from the previous mining ventures that were under, that were just technically in Namibia's, what is that, Environmental Act? The rehabilitation didn't take place, like you said.
Yeah.
Now, when no information happens, and I just came now from a particular sort of like a public engagement for us media with other people. I was technically the only Namibian media there. Can you believe it, Herman?
Huh?
Yeah. On media and data governance discussions. I know I don't want to convolute the areas and the two discussion areas, but I was literally the only Namibian media. I could not believe it. But anyway. And I thought this was like workshop, but no, it was just like a public lecture discussion for presenters, you know, sharing their particular discussions on access to information, data protection, and cybersecurity. However, okay, before we get to that ad break, singularly, information helps everyone, even the subjects who find themselves as traditional authorities, to be able to understand what's going on around them.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. The time is a minute past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And it's a minute past 5. So we're still with the discussion held earlier this month. And that's the topic for today by the president and traditional authorities across the country, where she pointed out a lot of things, basically everything, mostly developmental, you know, everything from development to the successional dispute taking place in different traditional authorities, which I listened to and went like, but Your Excellency, well, this year's election ended up in court, so that's not unheard of. Yeah. So, in the very same way that we have, political divisions on a more like a governance level, like the, the Western adopted, actually democracy is Greek, so it's Eastern. So just taking credit for everything. Yeah. When it comes to transition of power, there are going to be disputes as long as they don't go bloody. That's, basically, I think it's a part of power, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the fact that you have, squabbles every, here and there every time that you have, a new leader out, going out or, a new one coming in, these things are always going to take place. It's just how we handle them. And, the fact that, I have not heard of, people going to war over succession, or more like, pulling out guns and knives over each other. It shows me that, they're handling it in a very mature way.
So far.
Now, that's not to say that we should now, keep going WWE every time that, we are talking succession. It's just figuring out the best way to carry out the, the transition of power. Transition of power itself, it's riddled with things like that. Again, unfortunately. Now, for my fellow Christians, if I can remind you, the entire chapter of Revelation chapter 12 is to do with that power, you know, struggle. Yeah. It's a, the beauty of being born and raised with it is either you read that book or you don't eat. But now, coming back to our traditional authorities meeting, the president discussion, where she mentioned actually a lot of things, but one that I felt like, if I was one of the guys, you know, I think when it comes to the whole succession disputes, if I was the traditional authorities at this point were just going, yeah, just the president. Otherwise, we would have brought up that case that ended up with the Supreme Court. But
which one? Which one, Albert?
The previous one. And
okay.
Yeah. No, it's power, dude.
I know it's
you
power.
You don't have a different formula.
Yeah, it's straightforward stuff.
Yeah. So 4 minutes into the hour of five, we are still with that discussion, and we here in the Democratic home run, we have had your complaints. Please call in.
You really want to call it the Democratic home run?
Democratic home run. Please call in. And let's talk about let's talk about the president and traditional authorities engagements.
Well, in the meantime.
Yeah, in the meantime.
Go. Yeah. In the meantime, Almut, look. Primarily, I don't have an issue with traditional authorities. Why? I discovered myself, or actually one of my siblings who is very adept at research and, you know, doing, the other word is epistemology, you know, looking at the beginnings or the origins of something, where she discovered, obviously also with the major particular developments happening in South Africa on the other side of the Orange River, specifically where my dad is from, that, you know, traditional authorities are playing an ever more larger role in decision making in the national agenda of countries, specifically here in Southern Africa. And there's always this particular balance in terms of, you know, should traditional or communal areas where traditional authorities are based within get, you know, sort of like unequal support. I say unequal meaning should they get more support than other parts of the economy from the government. And obviously the government obviously represents all of us. And many of the particular needs that originate usually from communal land areas are usually disputes in terms of access to resources, disputes based upon access to, to practice various kinds of business ventures. I'm glad that she only mentioned that one region specifically has a little bit of a slow start in, you know, in ensuring that all the allocated land for green scheme development is actually utilized to its fullest potential. But even then, you hear with NDB6, in the lines of NDB6, it expressly says it somewhere in one of the, I think it's pillar number one, but in the other pillar specifically around, you know, how to achieve Namibia's industrial roadmap, it spreads across, you know, multiple particular ministries that you can identify immediately. The significant thing is that you can hear between the lines, if you read NDP6, that communal land has to play a bigger part and has a lot more to contribute to Namibia's particular economic agenda.
Yeah.
Now, it also implies then that the custodians of said particular communal land, the traditional authorities, have to also play a more proactive role. Meaning, you participate more actively. If decisions need to be made, you make your decisions. Obviously, we hope that it's fair. We hope. I hope. Look, I'm not applying for anything. Don't worry, guys. But I hope. Reason why I say this, Helmut, is because if we look at a trend analysis of things, the particular sort of like access to land, access to resources will in future become an even bigger subject, an even bigger topic. And for those Namibians that love pointing towards, you know, commercial farmers, I sort of like had to go re-jog my memory. The disputes that you find in communal land areas, Helmut, are based upon, let's leave, there's a, like a laissez-faire attitude sometimes. We need to follow an authority, we need to do this, we need to do that. If people understand in many cases how debt-ridden commercial farmers are.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of debt they have to build up because they realize that they are working with an entity that is their be-all and end-all. It's their be-all and end-all. Hence the reason why we've seen with the Zimbabwe example how Nigeria, Zambia, DRC, who's the other African company? A country. They took all those, and I'm sorry for showing out, you know, skin color, but all those former white Zimbabwean farmers, they immediately gave those guys citizenship or some sort of like intermediate work visas to literally start commercial farms in countries that are predominantly communal land areas where traditional farming practices are not actually, you know, adding any commercial.
Used on a commercial level.
Exactly. Now, why would you do that? Why would your strategy, countries that have far bigger populations than Namibia, why would you employ a strategy of using using African farmers who were commercial farmers in another African country, who were then, you know, obviously subsequently disenfranchised? Why would you take them in and then empower them to a level to say, do what you did, what you were doing before you were disenfranchised there. Do it, replicate this exercise here and help us achieve economic food production and various, you know, scales of positive commercial, agriculture in our country. We want you to replicate this. Why would you do that? And it's just a rhetorical question, just so that people know. Because we have to position these rhetorical questions, Helmut, that literally pinpoint, because you will always hear the Pan-African politicians or scholars come and shout here about, yeah, who must be disenfranchised, give land back, where, do what, where. Because I can always see communal land areas have to prove that they are commercially viable. Mm-hmm. Those ones with the green schemes, because most of them are most green schemes are most in them. And they have to prove that they have to prove to the national agenda in Namibia that they can just be as good as the commercial farms in Namibia.
Yeah.
Because the commercial farmers, there will come a time because of droughts and climate change where they will all convert to a game farm, a glorified safari farm. And then they will say, I'll make more money. I'll be able to employ more people. I'll be able to enhance the service delivery and product offering.
Then I don't have to worry.
Then just walking around with a herd of Simmentaler cattle, because that animal needs to eat every day. Whereas a wild animal eats every 7 days. When it wants to eat, it drinks. It doesn't really need water, but yeah, it helps to have a water hole.
So we only made these animals weak when we domesticated them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, because you read the same thing about domesticated animals. When if a wild animal has been kept in captivity long enough after it's released, it's sort of like have to be reintroduced back into the wild again, because it loses some of its natural instincts to basically, you know, find food, defend itself, and all those things.
Yeah, I mean, at the heart of it, it becomes used to a daily schedule of feeding. That's just why.
So silver platter, just here.
Yeah, that's why zoologists and other people that study nature conservation and wildlife and wild plants, they will tell you, try to imitate nature as much as
habitat.
Possible for this entity, so that the entity doesn't lose its instincts, like you said.
Yeah.
They don't lose it.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, let's take a caller. Angabona, Mandume. Welcome. You know, we made special provision, Angabona.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We made special provision,
Angabona.
Helmut Morogeni.
Morogeni.
Ngapi.
Na wako ngapi?
Wakulina. So you see, uh-huh. I love the way you putting the context actually.
Yeah.
Of the discussion. And it should be done. Most of all the leaders and everybody, and even if there are those the traditional leaders, those who are saying that no, they don't know the project that is going on in the Omikunda there, and the Omikunda in their village or constituency or whatever there. That one, me, I don't buy it as an excuse.
Those ones, we're not aware about traditional leaders being not aware of that, but there's, but that was that a local authority, guys?
Local
authorities mostly.
I thought I heard a statement that yes, when there was a question posed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to local authority officials.
Ah, whatever, whether it's local authority.
No, Ango Bwana, it can't be whatever because it was based upon national projects.
Local authority.
Yeah.
They are operating also under the traditional.
That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. With either a non-alcoholic Heineken.
Oh, can I go ahead?
Welcome yes, Agabona. Sorry for that. You have an extra minute.
It's fine. So I was talking about traditional authority. You said, no, we are talking about the regional and local authority government.
The
structure.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. So now this regional local authority, local government.
Yeah.
So as the in the constitution, their functions, and this regional authority is where you have the regional council. Isn't it?
Mm.
Now those regional council, the local authority, and all this that structure that we have to work in accordance with the registration that governs the traditional authority, even though they have their different acts. So now, my interest there and my question was, there are also this the original, this local authority. So these are the ones who say that they were not aware of the development project going into their jurisdiction. Is that what I got?
Yes, Angabona.
So now, it's the same. I'm saying it is so worrisome and cumbersome if you are there representing the government. And today we're talking about the distractor.
Mm.
And you are actually expecting from your representative No wonder why the president went there. He's doing this, looking at how these things are doing. So now the local authority, and we are talking about from the national, the local authority, down on the ground, where development should start, where you have more energy, I mean resources, energetical people, you have the land is there. At one point, the Emmet was talking about, is it climate change or whatever you can do with those conservancies in the constituencies. So, why is it that they cannot, they are not aware that such a project and whatever project is going on in their villages and they are not aware? Why? Is it perhaps the negligence of the responsibility or what is it? Because I've been trying since we started, trying to understand. Yes, the president went there. Maybe no other president did that or did that, did that. So do they expect it to roll down the president to be running around when he has already there, when there are people who are representing the government, representing here in those constituencies? That's why sometimes, see, you burden the leaders and you weigh them down just because the local authority or whoever does not want to perform his or her function. So anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
So Helmut said it's good to work with the local authority, AUP. It's a good structure, actually.
Yeah.
It's a good structure because the people there, they will just identify the need. They are in Windhoek here. So now is they will go and construct. That's why Windhoek is, last time we were saying Independence Avenue is dead.
No, it is.
It's now going maybe to be so much dead, because even the pioneers, the champions, the legends, musical legends, are also going. And you know, they also bring life. And when people look at this thing, it's dying. Why? People are transported from Havana everywhere, those informal settlements, to go and work in the Krone Power, whatever.
Kleine Kupak.
But now, here people are running, they say, no, the employment is in the urban area. Oh my God, why are we doing ourselves like this?
There's one thing about private sector. They will always look for a deal. There's nothing anyone can do unless Independence Avenue's rent became like zero, which won't happen because that is the most expensive properties here.
I don't care with Independence. I go and buy my things in the local market.
Angabona, you also go to Vernil and to Marua Mall.
Yeah, you also go there. But most of the time now, I don't go there again because my girls and my boys are big. They go and buy their own things. So the little ones, I take them there. But what I'm saying is that, so there's nothing that we can do. We understand.
Yeah.
It's their own prerogative and do that thing. But there are also times that you need to take development opportunity to the people.
So instead,
and they were hearing, were not the ones who were talking about building schools and what, and planting food, what, yeah? Now, you build school where now? Is it not in most of the world there are no schools?
Exactly.
So now, it is deliberate effort that you need to take and make sure that you facilitate maybe the local authority now, the municipalities, and all these things. It's now urban migration. I mean, urban rural migration. How do you say? The other way around. You know?
Yeah.
So let's do that. Let's take opportunity there. It is up to them. But, it is also good because maybe my boss used to say, this is a positive discrimination. So maybe it's like that because you guys, you have been building in Marua Mall, not Marua Mall. Marua Mall is also not viable the way we know it. That the other side of Rimbia and all this other thing. So Cranny Coupe now that you're talking about.
Mm.
So we keep on going. Let's also keep on coming this time.
Mm.
The opportunity, the same opportunity that you are applying there, that side, kind of strategy or whatever, you can also apply it here. Maybe we are not so knowledgeable enough. So should we now leave us alone like that?
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Let's work with the local authority and the traditional authority. This act today, I was looking at it. So all those chapters, especially now the one that you're talking about, chapter 12, that's local authority. But when you look at that thing, you examine it, and you see that a lot of things, they have got to, they establish the purpose. So they are getting a lot of money also.
All right.
So thank you very much.
Not a problem, Angabana. Thanks for coming through.
Look, you know, it's very easy to throw around the word, you know, when we are having any type of discussions, especially in line with developmental plans. It's very easy to throw around the word development, but like you and I have basically pointed out several times that if you take just one ministry, for example, like the super ministry, MESAC, for one school to be built, you see that there are a lot of ministries that have to come in. And basically, you know, in terms of, mostly in terms of approval.
Yeah.
Because, a school is an infrastructure that has to be built. It's a physical infrastructure that has to be built.
Yeah.
Now that it will be under the mandate of a Ministry of Education. But, the Ministry of Education don't, you know, they don't work with tenders that the Central Procurement Board now comes in. They don't have, you know, they don't, you know, they don't collect the money.
Mm.
That's where the Ministry of Finance comes in. And the Ministry of Works comes in. And when it comes to water, Ministry of Agriculture now, well, is coming in this direction. When they need power, Ministry of Mines and Energy comes in. So, just one physical infrastructure school, you have multiple ministries, you know, each having their respective responsibility towards accomplishing the, the setup and basically, minus for the running. The running obviously is handed over to the Ministry of what? It's mostly the, and I'm saying mostly, not all the time, because when renovations are needed, that's not the ministry, well, money is needed. Where is that money going to come from? Ministry of Finance. And all these things. And when someone punches someone in the face, well, tech teachers now decide to exchange, you know, develop a physical form of communication. Well, the Ministry of Education do not have police officers. That's, well, the police will have to come from where? Ministry of Home Affairs and says evidence security. You have all this now. We have a lot of about what? Like last time I counted, do we have like over 13 or 15 ministries? All these ministries, because there have been a lot of reshuffling and merging. Now, all these guys have to, or just on one project. The same goes for building, the same goes for building. Take, for example, if a green scheme needs a storage facility.
Mm.
It's going to need energy, Ministry of Mines and Energy.
Yeah.
And, well, it's going to need water because it's agriculture. Now, agriculture already have, you know, they already have that in check. And, when you're talking about employments and just like in any type of relationship, in employment relationships, disputes do occur. Who handles that? Ministry of Labor.
Yeah.
So, this is a giant machine that we just like to throw around as development. But to move this machine requires each and every piece to be aware of where we are going and how we're going to get there. Now, the tricky thing is when one or two is left behind, then you have a rusty cogwheel that will basically drag everything. A rusty one. And we have come across a few rusty ones that are going, what project? And then we have come across a few rusty ones that are going, hang on a second, what was supposed to be built here? A fabricated courtroom. When was this money given for the construction of this fabricated courtroom?
2015.
What year is this?
2024. Where is Karatura East? We don't know.
Yeah, it's like Wakanda. Yeah.
Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Sorry for coming back. Yes, I understand they are working in collaboration.
Yeah.
So now they are ineffective coordination because you know, the ministry.
Ministries, just so you know, that was Tate Bwana. Go on.
Yeah, no. So because in almost every ministry, they have got the development, the department of capital projects, where you have the development planners.
Yeah.
When if there is a school needed to be completed there.
Yeah.
So the Minister of Education, as you say, yes, it's involved. Works is involved. So then what we are saying is that the tendering process and all these things, the bringing in the documentation, having all the questions and answers and all these things, it is done by individual ministry.
Yeah.
So they also have budget for capital projects.
Yeah.
So if you are saying it's because everyone has to have a respect there, I understand. But does that mean now we should, people should not be saved because of those delays and bureaucratic issues?
Yeah.
We have thrown the cost of development there and there. That's because we haven't gone into the specific aspects. So now we are saying school, social benefit, you know already, economic benefit, you know already. I don't buy on you when you are telling me this one and this one. So if they are all involved, it's good because because a lot of heads.
Yeah.
It's no better because they are putting their effort together there,
yeah.
And they are coordinating and they are putting their little resources they have. That means they can build how many schools in a month, like the was talking about. The Senkam is talking about this year. Okay. So if that is the case now, why are you building these few schools? Like Helmut is saying now, because of this and this and that, works coming, this other work coming. Why do you have to delay? If the Minister of Gender, now if they have advertised a tender, that means the Minister of Works and all finance and everything.
Yeah.
Already, because that money have been budgeted for.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Thank you.
All right. 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, this is Homerun with Helmut and Dwight. We are still talking about the discussion that has been recently had by the president with the traditional authorities. You have to understand that, our democracy have just been given a tap on the shoulder that we are doing great, albeit in the more like the governance stuff, you know, in the governance direction. When it comes to resources distribution and sharing, we're still terrible at that. You know, we are working on it. Okay, point of correction. They are working on it.
I'm not. Yeah, there's no we.
No, I'm not in that one. Otherwise, I would be I would be undergoing cross examination by now. Now, the thing is, the president pointed out something now that is made me go like, this is an interesting point to make at a gathering like this. That where she pointed out that, you know, in just a matter of that was as she concluded, just all the way to, all the way to the bottom of her speech. Let me see if I can find that. But where she's talking about, right here. Yeah, which says in 2023, un, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, the sixth paragraph from the bottom, if all the way up. Now, in 2023-2024 alone, 543 lives were lost due to suicide, and we are known as the country that tops the list of suicides in Africa. Now, that part I didn't know. I actually didn't look up the statistics either. That is not a record to be associated with. Over the past 3 to 4 weeks, we have lost over 10 lives by suicide. This is not just, static. It represents precious lives lost, broken families, left behind, and a nation in pain. And, okay, again. at this point, I'm going, this is now, bringing the mental health discussion on a traditional level, which is, which makes me go like, this is interesting.
But there's a caveat, Hamut. I have to put that but there.
Yeah, throw it in there.
Yeah, I have to throw it in there. Meaning it's a, you know, that game that we used to play when someone starts an argument and then you throw something to distract them.
Yeah.
Like Uncle Bonner likes saying distractions. You distract them by throwing something, yeah. You know, just, yeah, somewhere in the space here.
Yeah.
That's where I'm throwing my butt.
Yeah.
The but there that we have to put there, Hamut, is obviously the president spoke about, in Afrikaans we call it,
Englechting.
It's technically like saying, you know, if you are not, you don't have any gainful employment activity, or you're not occupied with an activity.
Yeah.
So they say, you know, it leads somewhere else. The downside of people who make such statements, and it's nothing against the president,
mm-hmm.
is she's technically saying, yeah, ensure that people are occupied with one or other activity,
mm-hmm.
even though it doesn't pay them.
You know what that takes us back to?
No, not even slavery.
It
just means, try to find things that can occupy young people who don't stand a chance of moving into university or other aspects or have other prospects somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I was this close to debating with Uncle Bwana earlier this morning in terms of, you know, the VTCs and stuff like that, because I told Uncle Bwana, listen, I don't want to see in Namibia a foreigner who, then I'll use the explicit example, a Zimbabwean coming across the border into Namibia to come and sell me brooms that he bought for $20 a broom at Chinatown here in Windhoek. But he's selling it to me for 18 Namibian dollars. He didn't add any value.
That's because you're too lazy to go to Chinatown yourself.
Exactly. But here's the thing, Helmut. He was not supposed to even come across the border. What value is he providing to Namibia?
Well, he's selling brooms.
By rebuying a broom, mm-hmm. buying a broom in mm-hmm. Chinatown,
cutting
and reselling it to you.
Well, you're in Kleiner Coupe. How did Uncle Wana pronounce
that? What did the Minister of Health, Luvindao, say the other day? Let's try to minimize the role that middlemen play.
Then we have got to start going to Chinatown ourselves.
But in the Minister of Health,
fuel is being used in a form of jungle oats to move that broom from Chinatown to Kleiner Coupe.
Hey, and jungle oats is a very good fuel. It's way better than any maize meal product out there. So
is someone with pap though is mad at you right now?
No, they can't be mad. I've proven that that experiment already, because I can't get hungry, Helmut, 10 minutes later. And I even soaked it in milk.
That's me with Weet-Bix.
And then, no. Weet-Bix is for kids and literally people that need to lose weight.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, but because your body cannot absorb Weet-Bix.
It's cellulose.
It's pure fiber and pure wheat and pure wheat germ. So all it does is literally just
simulate the
cleanse you out.
Oh, digest. Okay, makes sense.
You know, it needs to go through your intestines.
So it's a broom.
No, it's not a broom. It's more like what do they call that? It's like a drain cleaner.
Mm. It's an excellent one, though.
Yeah.
Now look, I don't know. Oh, no, for that it works.
Yeah, no, it does its job. Like it does its job, but it makes you so hungry so quickly.
Yep.
Because you're literally running on.
I had that for breakfast. When I get in a cab, I'm already hungry.
Yeah. And I'm talking about the hunger where you're literally doubling over. You know, you're sitting, you're almost rolling around. But anyway.
Yeah.
The talking point that emanated from that was, if we look at the kind of skills that Namibia needs.
Yeah.
Right? Namibia needs skilled people and potentially people that are bringing along investment to invest in Namibia. Namibia doesn't need a glorified broom or mop seller walking around in the suburbs or neighborhoods of Windhoek or other urban settlements of the country, reselling a broom that the inhabitants of the town can literally walk to the shop and pay for. But hey, listen, you're the sucker that will pay the $80 for that Chinatown resold broom. You are the sucker. I'll say it again.
You're just supporting local, you know, the sucker.
No, that's not local.
What? It's a broom.
No!
Where are these things produced, though? Somewhere in... Like literally where they are made.
I don't know. But look, some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. But what I don't support, Helmut, is a low-skilled foreigner coming into Namibia.
Yeah.
And then technically setting up shop and doing commercial activity under the radar of Namibia's national immigration laws and its agencies. I was told in 2011 when I went for a three-month course to Cape Town, you cannot work on a student visa. You cannot work. You may not work.
There are a lot of countries that have that.
Namibia also has the same laws. There's a whole bunch of people in Namibia that obviously flaunt those particular rules of Namibia. I've met one of them, a couple of them, and you know what? It's up to the immigration officials and the immigration authorities to make up their minds how they're going to treat such foreigners that are in Namibia. That are not actively, they are actively taking work from Namibians that have the qualifications, that can do the role. And those Namibians are unemployed because other Namibians just love using certain foreigners from certain African countries and European countries to occupy positions. I don't know if it's a thing of friendship, braskap, you know, he's my Wami, he's my Gazi, you know, he helped me through thick and thin, or like Uncle Bona likes to say, you know, these were, liberation, affiliations. Look, the youth out there doesn't care about your liberation affiliations pre-1990. The youth want a job today.
Yeah, you know, taking you back to that, walking with a broom discussion, and I've seen some with a dozen of eggs and, you know, Polonia.
Why are they in Namibia?
Now, here's the thing. That's how I know we are developing, because the more a country develops, the lazier their people becomes when it comes to doing other activities.
Why are you defending other people's rights?
No, because I've seen this. You have seen this, because there are a lot of Namibians, there are a lot of us, actually, that are basically shying away from a lot of activities that makes money. But when foreigners comes in, they spot that opportunity, and they don't mind walking with a dozen of eggs from here to town. But as a Namibian, I totally understand that. Why? I mean, it's difficult to walk with your Nike Air Force and iPhone 17 in the hand and a dozen of eggs on one side. Mm. And basically selling that stuff. Now, they don't mind. I think out of desperation, because we look at that as something to shy away from.
Yeah.
And they're like, hang on a second. Well, you're shy to walk around with a bunch of brooms. I don't mind. Just hand them over to me. And this is where you see that now a lot of, this is basically, I think, early signs of a developing country. When a lot of the people that are local just look at minor activities, that would be a very excellent side hustle and go like, no, I can't do that because I have this and this and this and these qualifications. All I just want is an air-conditioned room and someone walk me in the office like some people did a couple of, or was that last year? We just walked in a bunch of office and I just go there and work. I was like, okay.
Oh,
can you even operate Microsoft Office? Now, the thing is, what we are looking, we have become fancy to the point where, we are not seeing opportunities where someone comes in, take for example from DRC, Zambia, Zimbabwe, mostly DRC and Zimbabwe, and they go like, okay, hang on a second. There's an opportunity here. That's when, then we go, and we're very good at buying that because, well, I'm just too busy to do that, or I'm just too fancy to do that. So they spot that opportunity and take advantage of it. And, if you followed, was that in 2023 or 2024, Ron DeSantis in Florida, when he passed a lot of this, their own language, draconian laws of immigration, when they said, we are basically cracking down on immigrants. So a lot of immigrants coming out of South America, they decided to move to other states. Mm. What about the agriculture and construction sector?
It
came to standstill because a lot of Floridians did not want to participate in what was labeled as what? Immigrant jobs.
But Helmut, that unfortunately happens. It's the same thing in the UK. the UK are going about the Reform Party guys, and what's that guy's name?
They're taking our jobs.
The guy that they are calling a neo-Nazi, Tommy Smith or Tommy Robinson.
Yeah, Tommy Robinson, yeah.
They go and protest about migrant hotels. Now, migrant hotels are derelict hotels, meaning these are hotels that are no longer used for its purpose. It's a building. It was a former hotel.
Huh?
And yes, it's an old hotel building. You know, it's a building that's no longer used.
Basically abandoned?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
So the property owner then leases it out to the British government's, home affairs ministry. And all these illegal migrants and refugees and asylum seekers that come from the Middle East and from Africa who are now crossing the channel or coming to the UK, they get put in these facilities because these facilities are the best, are the closest to control facilities where you can, you know, basically house the people.
Yeah.
Because the British technically don't have refugee camps and asylum camps and stuff like that.
Yeah. Have you seen the size of their country?
True. It's literally like the backyard of the Karas region. So, they have to.
We're not leaving this country, are we?
I hope the High Commissioner of the British High Commission in the Bantuk is not listening. But listen, so what technically happens then is that a whole bunch of politics popped up around those derelict things. But before we continue, guys, a quick ad break.
Then politics and derelict buildings on the other side of.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. The time is just 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. This is Homran with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
And before we continue, guys,
live read.
Velvita University for the 2026 applications, which are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences, and the following programs are Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 5, Certificate enrolled nurse, midwife or accoucheur level 6, diploma in environmental health science level 6, bachelor of social work honors, bachelor of nursing and midwifery science honors, postgraduate diploma in community health nursing level 8, and postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing level 8. Application fee is 230 Namibian dollars. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to 1 million Namibian dollars in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liters, or 600 ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845#, punch in your code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to the Coca-Cola social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition.
Welcome back. We have 12 minutes before the hour of 6, so derelict buildings.
Derelict buildings and hotels and refugees. So, when we look at this derelict building discussion, so the politics now in the UK is based upon refugees and immigrants and all that. But it has been proven across the world that migration is beneficial to countries around the world because it helps with technology transfer, sometimes also an influx or a flow in of financial capital, you know, to help with various aspects or even remittances for that matter.
Yeah.
But in many cases, Helmut, all the governments in the world have the same particular rhetoric when it comes to what kind of person, what kind of a foreigner they would invite into their country.
Yeah.
Namibia has the same, literally the same viewpoint and position. It must be someone who doesn't have a commonly available skill in Namibia. Okay, so selling a broom is like really common.
Very risky.
Go on. I mean, come on, man.
It's a specific way of holding that broom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it needs to advertise itself in the sun, you know.
Aerodynamics.
It needs to help also with, what they call it? Demonstration exhibitions that need to be done.
We don't have cameras.
That need to be done to all the housewives, you know, living there in the Rado Park and in Komersdal. But yeah, when you look at that scenario.
Yeah.
Obviously, low skilled, foreigners.
Yeah.
Are not the aim of many countries that have properly formulated, established the immigration legislation,
yeah,
as well as also the other particular economic immigration policies around that legislation, because they really want people that can bring money, that can bring new technologies, and that can bring new skills into the economy that either has a shortage on stuff or doesn't have these things at all.
Yeah.
Now I'll ask you today, Helmut, with the denim blue eyes that I do not own. In many cases, we really need to harness the positives of immigration.
Mm.
But we also need to be strict on the negatives of immigration. For example, like really dealing with potentially people, like what Franz told me once when I interviewed Franz here on, I think it was the Business and Economic segment,
yeah,
or another platform like 2 years back. Franz told me literally, Dwight, okay. We all know specifically, you know, that France has been in Windhoek for a very long time.
Yeah.
As opposed to living back home, back in Zambezi.
Yeah.
And France has told people walk across the river from Zambia. If they don't have that document.
Okay. Well, there's
that Iwe document that they say Iwe there to each other. Iwe, Iwe, Iwe. And then they walk across the bridge.
And they're walking across the bridge, right?
Yeah, what's the document? If they don't have the document, they walk across the bridge, the river.
No, I thought they were pulling off like a Jesus Christ, you know. Like,
No.
This is a canoe, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, no, just chicken.
Yeah, sometimes it's canoe. Last time I saw that river runs pretty strong, you know.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Like super strong.
Yeah.
But when you hear real life stories like that, obviously, you get to understand why you have some of our political actors, like in Namibia's landscape and in South Africa, like Julius Malema, them who call for, you know, the dissolution of borders. But it makes things tricky. Because I'll tell you today, Hamad, there's a whole bunch of people on the border with Angola, not on Namibia's side, on Angola's side,
yeah,
who really want to be in Namibia.
The dissolution of borders, it's a... I would go as far as calling that a fantasy because, this brings us back to the governance discussion because before you start talking about the dissolution of borders,
yeah,
is everyone making sure that, the people they are leading, they are they are providing the best product and services because people leave because of lack of that.
Mm.
Yeah. So, this is the reason why, you know, why a lot of countries don't like war. That's, take for example, if, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. Someone threatens, take for example, South Africa with war. Namibia would definitely not be happy, not because just for diplomatic reasons. It's also because they know that if a war breaks out in South Africa, guess will have to do with the aftermath in terms of immigration, of a high influx of immigration. The neighboring countries.
Yeah.
Botswana will be caught in crossfire, and so will Mozambique. And you have Namibia in that. Now, the Namibian government will now have to figure out, on a very strained budget, how to cater for all these people. And no country wants that. It's just that more often you are caught in crossfire and you don't have, you have no way of dealing with it. Yeah. Now, taking a very, you know, serious circling to coming back to today's discussion in terms of Vision 2030 and NDP 6 and basically everything development wise. This is like I pointed out earlier, the way that I like to look at it is just look at the Namibian government, and we are looking at it from the top level, which is from the executive office, all the way to the a father who is running his family, because that also, you know, they say that charity begins at home. Yeah, a father running his family, and then this family is part of a village, is part of a constituency, is part of a region. Now they fall under different jurisdictions, small though they may be. Now, to pull off a developmental projects, this communication must be very fluid, and everyone must be aware of what role they must play.
Yeah.
And then now, well, you have a little bit of a problem there. When one is not aware of the role they have to play, because they are busy, kick the heck out of each other in the name of, in the name of succession, you have a bit of a problem. Yeah. And, again, like I pointed out, leadership, or more like succession dispute, is not something that's new. Last year, when we were talking about, someone getting Will Smith'd at, at mixed settlement. And now that's in the political, that's not in the traditional authority leadership issue. That's in the, just the, the AKA democratic, government, governance setting.
Yeah.
Now,
and even though Koma has now got a traditional authority,
yeah,
which is literally like, I think, 100 kilometers in what direction?
Of course it is.
Which direction is it? Like northeastwards of the Komas region? I didn't even know the Komas region is that big, where you could literally measure off 100 kilometers. Okay, maybe from east to west, maybe from east to west, probably there might be 100 kilometers situation like that. But I remember, because remember last year our multimedia crew had to go to the farm that was handed over to them by former Minister Schlettwein.
Yeah, I remember.
You don't know? Saying. You remember that? And then they got lost somewhere.
The ministry got lost. The media got lost.
They got lost, and the ministry's people were trying to find out where's this farm, because they also got...
They're basically giving out a portion of land they've never been to. And... That's my favorite part of that story.
Hey guys, so sorry for sharing these details only now.
It's because you and I are not getting land.
It's because literally, like, we are doing this in the new year, which is technically like 9 months old already, so that our production lady doesn't kill us. She was on that trip.
She was the one going. We got lost.
She was on that trip. Yeah.
The ministry themselves also got lost. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. So. Just so that you guys know, so we have a traditional authority also in Komas.
Mm-hmm.
SMUS now, all regions now successfully have a traditional authority.
Yeah.
But that traditional authority cannot actively play a role in the Komas region's development agenda, because you know why? It's the same thing like the regional council.
Yeah.
Because the city of Windhoek is so proactive. It knows what it is doing.
Yeah.
You need to go to other regions to go and find out why they can't do something where their regional authorities are literally involved in the development agenda.
Yeah.
If most of our large urban settlements, Helmut, can act like City of Windhoek, we wouldn't have a development agenda. We would just have to look at the region, at the regional rural landscape, and not at the regional urban and rural.
I think that's the goal. The goal is to get there where you have every urban area is basically capable of doing what the capital is doing in terms of of planning and execution of their responsibilities. But I'm gonna wrap it up with the disputes when it comes to succession, because the reason why I kept referring to the political political democratic leadership elections, more like disputes around this whole realm, is that when it comes to those disputes, we have had them like three, four presidential and national assembly elections, and they are laid out channels on how to handle these disputes.
Mm.
Yeah. You don't just go full Mozambique and then start a riot and then run out of the country. There are channels that are set in place. If you're not satisfied with the result, you approach the court, and the political parties that were not satisfied with last year's presidential National Assembly election, that's exactly what they did. Now, if you ask me, that is the central government leading by example over where, you know, disputes are always going to be part of power dispute, part of power change, if I can call it that. Now, when it's happening on a traditional authority level, which it's going to happen, you can't avoid it. What channels do you have in place to resolve it peacefully?
Has your phone ever taken a nosedive into the kitchen sink? Take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Fast, reliable, same-day approval. Apply for a quick cash loan. Core 90,000.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Welcome back. It's a minute past the hour of six. Bring us to the end of a home run. Basically, that puts us into the business and economic segment at times. So for me, when it comes to the leadership, or more like succession disputes, no group is immune to disputes. There was a time in the history of the history of the Roman Catholic Church when you guys voted in, a pirate for a pope. That's still my friend. There was a time when
a lot of things happened. There were like two popes at one time.
There was that time
the
when
Austrian
there were like
pope. It was the Austrian German pope, and it was the French Italian pope, and the French were behind the Italian.
And people were divided over who's the legitimate one.
Yeah, and then there was literally a civil war, and I was like, yeah, if you want to take family politics to a level, ne.
Look, I know.
Look at the history of Europe, then you'll see.
Exactly. Look, that's what I'm saying. Disputes are not, disputes are part of human beings. It's just how we handle it, how we handle these disputes that it shows that you have matured or evolved to a more civilized form. We have been having, disagreements on our elections for a while now. But we have never, thank heavens, descended into chaos.
Yeah.
Let's keep it that way. Follow the protocol. And before you start going, yeah, I know this was, read the judgment. I know we are all WhatsApp qualified lawyers. But just read the judgment.
Yeah, young. I've got an advanced PhD in WhatsApp communication.
Yeah, WhatsApp communication.
And critical discourse theory.
Yeah.
But yeah.
3 minutes into the hour of business and economic segment. That brings us to the end of our show for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM. From me, you all have a blessed evening. Oh, you're done. Okay.
Yes, I'm done. Yeah. And see you guys tomorrow again, same time, same place, guys, on Unpacking the Day, and which I will have an interesting guest to talk to. I hear she's the mayor of Rundu. Don't ask her. I'm already announcing.
I'm not going to ask.
And same time, same place again on the home run, guys. We'll both see you again soon. Obviously with a new topic to dissect.